karaoke. Come on, you're out there. That's it. I see some of you out there channeling your inner Bono. You guys are getting with it out there. All right. Hey, today we're going to continue this series on the pursuit of happiness. Now, this is our sixth sermon in this series, and it's been a very unique series as God has continued to pull this whole thing together. And I just encourage you, if you missed any of this series, that you can go online and you can get our podcast there at mydestinychurch.com, and you can receive the podcast there and get anything that you've missed. If you miss any parts of these sermons in this series, you can go back and listen to those when you're working out, when you're driving, whatever you're doing, to kind of make sure you're getting the full picture, this full painting that God is painting for us. It's very unique. It's awesome to see when God begins to orchestrate this thing to come together and how we see this whole beautiful painting coming together. And if you miss part of it, you need to go back and pick that up so you can make sure you're grasping. This has been a very powerful series. We're talking about today the pursuit of happiness. I want to talk to you about letting go. Everybody say letting go. Of what? Offenses. Letting go of offenses. Now turn to your neighbor and say, strap it on today, baby. Put the seatbelt on. It's going to be good. All right. Letting go of offenses. Have you ever been with someone that you showed kindness to that they took advantage of you? Anyone here? Have you ever been kind to somebody only to have them take advantage of you? Have you ever had people who took advantage of your kindness or you tried to help? Only to come back later and to take advantage of you. Man, that can be really hard to take, isn't it? If we're not careful, we allow the offense to come into our life. Ever been betrayed? Ever felt like you've been betrayed in your life? Yeah, we've all gone through seasons of that. And if we're not careful, we walk through those seasons of betrayal, and they become seasons of offense in our life, and we hang on to it. Let me be very clear today. If you're hanging on to offense in your life, it's robbing you of the happiness that God has for your life. Let me say it again. If you're holding on to offenses in your life, it's going to rob you of the happiness that God has for your life. Now, let's go ahead and pick it right back up today in our story, our theme text today. And we'll find it in Genesis chapter 13 here in just a second. But let's set the story up. Abram, who is later to be called Abraham after God blessed him, before God had changed his name was Abram. And we see where God went to Abram and said, Abram, I want you to pack up your family, take all your possessions, head out. I'm going to bless you beyond your wildest dreams. I'm going to take you to a new land. I'm going to give you this great land, a promise to you and to all generations. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to bless you. And we see this thing happening. And then we see Lot, who is his nephew. And God tells Abraham to leave. And all of a sudden, Lot's mom's like, get on out there. Go with your uncle, boy. Go. So we see this whole thing happening here where Lot is the nephew of Abram. And then we see where they're getting ready to leave now and to be blessed and all this thing happening. You ever had a family member who liked to go on vacation with you as long as you were paying? You know, so if you're not raising your hand, you're like, pastor's sitting right next to me. We're not talking about that one. We're talking about the other one, okay? You had a family member who likes to go on vacation and they don't want to pay, but they want to go with you for the free gas and the free ride, and they want to stay in your free hotel room, right? And then they go, God bless me, you know. It's all a great thing, right? This is kind of what's going on here, you know. Here, Lot's going along for the free ride with Uncle Abram, riding along for free. He's getting the benefits of being with him. Uncle Abram's being blessed. And now Lot finds himself right in the middle of this blessing, all because his great uncle decided to bring him along for the journey. Now look at this verse now. Lot, we're reading verses 5 through 11. Lot, who was traveling with Abram, had also became very wealthy. See? Lot, who was traveling with Abraham, had also become very wealthy with flocks of sheep and goats and herds of cattle and many tents. See, let me just stop right there. Time out. Let me tell you this. Sometimes when God's blessing somebody else, if you're just around the right people, God will bless you too. I'm just going to tell you right now. Sometimes you don't have to be the one God's trying to bless, but because you're connected to the right people who God's blessing, some of that favor will spill off on you. And I can tell you, there's been times that God was blessing somebody else because I was connected to that person. God chose to bless me along with them. And just a little side note, because some of you think it doesn't matter who I hang around. It doesn't matter what kind of environment I put myself into. Yes, they do. Environments matter a lot. Here's Lot deciding to change his environment. He heads out with his uncle who's blessed. And all of a sudden, Lot now finds himself in a season of blessing, not because God promised it to Lot, but because God promised it to his uncle. Just a little side note there. Parents, tell your kids, listen up. This is a good thing, okay? So let's pick it back up now. So Lot also becomes wealthy with all these things. Now, but the land could not support both Abram and Lot with all their flocks and herds living so close together. So a dispute breaks out between the herdsmen. Can you kind of imagine this? Surprise, surprise, surprise. Family has a dispute. And this dispute breaks out. Finally, Abram said to Lot, let's not allow this conflict to come between us or our herdsmen. After all, we're family. We're relatives. So the whole countryside, this is what Abram said to his Lot, the whole countryside is open to you. Take your choice of any section of the land you want, and we will separate. If you want the land to the left, then I'll take the land to the right. If you prefer the land to the right, then I'll take the land to the left. Lot took a long look at the fertile plains of the Jordan Valley in the direction of Zoar. The whole area was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord or the beautiful land of Egypt. It was comparing the land he was looking at to the Garden of Eden. Okay, that's what he was doing. It's like, man, this place is full of water and places for the herds to eat and to graze. Man, this would be a dream for any herdsman to set up a ranch here and to have this whole place set up for all my animals to be taken care of. It would just continue to grow and multiply. I mean, this was the best of the best, okay? And so here comes the nephew now. His uncle's given him the first choice, and he chooses the best area. So the whole area was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, beautiful land of Egypt. Lot chose for himself the whole Jordan Valley to the east of them. He went there with his flocks and his servants and parted company with old Uncle Abram. Now, let's look at this story and think about it. Who did God call to leave? Who did God promise if you would pack up and leave that I would bless? Abram, right? So why is it fair that Lot's the one now who gets to choose the first choice of the land that's the blessing? And instead, Lot takes the best land and gives the leftovers to his uncle, who's taking the land that's not that great. And so you can imagine, I'm sure just like you and I, you would think, what is this? What is going on? You see, oftentimes in seasons of blessing, we're tested most. Oftentimes in season of blessing, we're being tested most. God's already blessing them. God's already multiplying back to them. And in the middle of this multiplication comes a test. Is it a test for Lot? Yes, it is. But it's also a bigger test for even Uncle Abram. Because here he is, bringing along his snot-nosed nephew, a favorite probably to his, you know, his sister. Come on, let's go with me here. You need a man to show you what to do. Come on, you follow me, boy. I'll raise you up. Come on, let's go. And he doesn't need to be there. Now he's there, and he's getting blessed. He's receiving all the benefits from Uncle Abram's paid vacation, receiving all the benefits of the blessing of the Lord upon Uncle Abram. And now his flocks are multiplying and growing because he just connected with his uncle, who's blessed of the Lord. And so instead of saying, oh, Uncle Abram, no, you pick first. After all, God told you to leave. God told you to be the one to go out. I'm just here for the free ride, and I'm being blessed already. You pick first, and I'll take what you don't want. That would be the test of maturity, right? That's what he should have done. But instead, we see here that he chooses something different for himself. You see, Abram was a man of peace. Abram offers up Lot the first choice of land. Abram was the one that God called to get this whole thing, and he's getting it for free. You see, Lot really becomes Cousin Eddie. Come on, how many like the character Cousin Eddie? He's a great character to laugh at as long as you're watching it on TV, but it's not great when you experience and live with Cousin Eddie. And this is kind of what's happening here. You remember Cousin Eddie? He shows up at Christmas time in a broken down RV. Hey, Clark, you know, we're going to spend Christmas with you. Merry Christmas. So we're going to hook up our RV to your electricity. We'll hook up our sewer too. Well, you know that scene. Anyway, we're going to do all those things. And, you know, we're going to eat your food. And by the way, Clark, finally, the truth comes out. The reason why they're there is not because it's Christmas, because they got evicted, and they're living in the RV, and so he shows up to live off his cousin because they're out of money. And so Clark, being a being the guy who's generous, even though he probably doesn't really stand, can't stand being around Eddie. He lets them stay there while they're getting back on their feet and through the Christmas holidays. And they take him out shopping, him and Eddie go out shopping. And he's like, you know, we've been talking. We want to do something for your kids for Christmas. No, we can't take charity. He said, I love this thing. You can't take charity. Clark, no, we're not one for charity, even though he's living there for free. And we're not one for charity. No, we insist. And he goes, well, if you insist. And then he pulls out a big Christmas list he's already prepared ahead of time. Not only with gifts for the kids, but also for him and his wife. And then he says, oh, Clark, I want you to buy something really nice for you as well, from us. I mean, this is the whole mentality of Cousin Eddie. This is kind of the same thing happening here. With Lot, Lot's there mooching off his uncle. His uncle's supporting him all this time. And then his uncle comes down to dispute and says, all right, you pick first. You know, and, well, I couldn't do that. Okay, I'll take the best over here. This is kind of what happens here with Lot. And so if we see this whole thing unfolding, and really, Lot should have said, Uncle, you had picked first. He was so ungrateful, probably very cocky. Let's pick up the rest of the story now. Let's pick it up in verse 14 of chapter 13, verses 14 through 17. So you can imagine Abram being very upset, okay? God, you called me here to be blessed. You called me here to have this great land, and now Lot's taking it first. So you can understand how upsetting this must have been to Abram. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now. Pick up your head. Now, I just challenge you, maybe during this week, to go through in your Bible study time and look up how many times in Scripture we see God talking to people directly and says, lift up your head, or lift up your eyes, lift up your face. God really cares about how you and I look and how our attitude is. He says, look from this place where you are. He goes, look northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants would also be numbered. So he says, lift up your eyes now. Here's the promise of the blessing. And he says, arise, get up, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. I love this fact that he says, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Why was it? Because obviously Abraham's dejected. Obviously Abraham's been hurt. Obviously Abraham's struggling with this, as we would as well. But he speaks directly to him. Why? Because God knows when his children are upset. As a parent, I know when my kids are having an attitude problem. I know when something's upsetting my kids. I can tell by their body language. I know them. And because I love them and care for them, I'll say, what's wrong? What are you doing?
Nothing.
What's wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with me. Ain't nothing wrong with me. Then why are you pouting with your face all the time? Why are you walking down with your... Pick your head up. And there's times I have to tell them, all right, I know it's a struggle, and I know what you're facing is a struggle, but pick your head up anyway. Look up. It's going to be okay. Watch your body language, you know. You'll get through this. Pick up your attitude. And I have to encourage them along. This is what God's doing. This is Abraham. It's okay. Pick up your head. Look up. Walk. And there was something that happened here in this process that God was doing in Abram's life that he was wanting us to see, that God knows the struggles that we have, and he really cares about the attitude we project. He cares that when we leave here, that we pick up our head. He cares that when we go through things that are hard in our life, that we lift up our head, look unto him, and we walk out of here knowing, God, you're in control. It goes back to the same principle we've been saying throughout this whole series, that Paul was trying to teach us in Philippians chapter 4, that when I have a lot of blessing, God, you're still in control. It's all from you. And when I don't have a lot of blessing, it's okay because I'm still blessed because, God, you're in control. It's the same principle. He's saying, pick up your head, Abraham. It's okay. It's all right. I'm going to bless you. He was very concerned, but God was paying attention to his attitude. God pays attention to our attitude. Let me say this to you. God pays attention to our body language. Some of you don't like that today, but I'm telling you the truth. God pays attention to our body language. He's like, listen, pick up your head. Change your attitude. That offense is keeping you from living the life I have for you. Pick up your head. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply back to you. Walk this thing out. Pick up your head. It's okay. See, God is paying attention to us. God tells Abraham, look at this now. We see what happens here. God says, I'm going to bless you. Why? See, God tells Abraham, because you responded with taking the high road, look up, I'm going to bless you. Because you chose to do the thing above and beyond. Abraham could have said, Lot, dude, listen, punk. You're just lucky to be on this trip. You're only getting blessed because you're with me. I'm going to take this and you take the leftover place. But instead, he took the high road and he gave him first choice. And when he picked the best place, he still let him go with peace. And he blessed him as he went. Was he dejected? Yes. Did it hurt? Yes. Was he offended? I'm sure he was. Just like we were. But we see God doing something in him that God says, because of your heart was different, because you chose to have a different heart, I'm going to bless you. Because you chose to guard your heart, I'm going to bring a blessing to you. See, everything that happens in our life is a heart test. Everything that happens to us in life is a heart test. When the blessing comes, is our heart still going to respond right? God, this all this blessing, it comes from you. It humbles me, God, to knowing how much you bless me. And when I feel like I'm going through struggles in my life, my heart test is, God, can I still trust you when I've been done wrong? Can I still trust you when I've been hurt? Can I still trust you when I've been lied about? Can I still trust you? And those things really challenge us. But it's all a test of our heart. God is looking at our heart, and he expects us to guard our heart and to pick up our eyes. And when we do that, we unlock the key of blessing in our life. Now look at this. There's a big difference today. I want to read some Proverbs 4:23. Look at this, what it says to us in Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, what are we supposed to do? Above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. See, God wants us to guard our heart against offenses. God wants us to guard our heart against offenses in our life, because when we allow the offenses to come in, it takes control of us and it robs the blessing that God has for our life. God wants us to be free from offenses in our life. Now look at this now. Look at this about wounds. There's a big difference. A wound is something that is inflicted upon you. An offense is something we choose. I don't choose to be wounded, but I can choose to be offended. Are you following me here today? I don't choose when bad things happen to me. Bad things happen to good people. There's a lot of great people I know that have had a lot of bad things happen to. And we didn't choose it. They didn't choose it. But it happens. Wounds are going to come. You can't choose your wounds. Life's going to throw you curveballs. And life's going to hit you hard sometimes. And you're going to have wounds that come to you. That's not my choice. I don't have a choice. It's going to happen. But my choice is whether or not I can live offended. I choose to do that. I can choose, am I going to hold on to that hurt and let it become a place where it eats away at me, it eats away at my heart, and it steals away the promise and the joy that God has for me? It causes me to walk with my head down, dejected. It causes me to walk shy and missing the target of the blessing God's got for my life. Or will I pick my head up and say, even though this wound came to me, I'm not going to choose to walk in offense. See, look at this next statement. We choose. It's never our choice to be wounded, but it's always our choice to be offended. It's never our choice to be wounded, but it's always our choice to be offended. And we've got to say, God, I want my heart to be free of offense in my life. I want my heart to be free of this offense. Now, let me read you a story now that has just the opposite effect. We talked about Abram, how he responded well because his heart was well and he responded the right way and took the high road and didn't allow offense to come in and rule his heart. God blessed him. Pick up your eyes, walk out of here. I'm going to bless you. And God does that. And see, for many people in our life, we've got to realize that God is wanting us to let go of the offense. Don't choose to be offended, but choose to give it over to God. Now let's look at the second story in Genesis chapter 4. It's a story we read in the very first series of this sermon about giving God our first. Remember that story of Cain and Abel? Let's look at it again. Let's look at these guys, how they responded. Now, in Genesis chapter 4, verses 2 through 5, talking about Eve, she gave birth to his his brother and named him Abel. And when they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. So Cain brings over, basically what's saying, Cain gave just a portion of his crops, kind of his leftovers. Over time, he kind of gathered them. Well, I have a little bit here, left over, a little bit here, a little bit here. And then over time, he brought his leftovers to the Lord. But Abel did the opposite. Abel brought his first and best, the first of his crops, the first of his animals to the Lord, the first of the firstborn of the lambs from his flock. And so the Lord accepted Abel's gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and now Cain looks very dejected. Notice the similarities to him and Abram. Both dejected, both probably very upset. But we see something happening here, and the response was so much different. We see something happen here. God accepted Abel's offering. God didn't accept Cain's offering. Cain's face was downcast. Abram had the same reaction, but Abram's heart was different than Cain's. They both had the same reaction, but Abram's heart was one where he guarded it against offense. He did it as unto the Lord, and God said, now pick your head up. Walk out of here. I'm going to bless you because you did the right thing. You handled this the right way. Cain was just the opposite. Cain let bitterness come in. Why? Cain was very upset. Cain let bitterness come in. His reaction was so much different because Cain allowed his heart to become offended. Cain took out his anger on his brother. And one of the most tragic stories in the Bible, we see where a brother killed a brother because of his anger in his heart. He'd become offended. And that offense led to anger, and that anger led to him murdering his brother. I believe, look at this, at the root of most of our offenses, at the root of most of our offenses is a disappointment in God. Why was he upset at his brother? His brother did nothing wrong. His brother did what God asked, and he was blessed. God rejects Cain's offering. And so he's mad at God because God rejects his offering, and he takes out his offense of God. He gets so angry that he takes it out, and it leads to him killing his brother. But what did his brother do? His brother didn't do anything against him. See, he allowed his anger at God to drive him to kill his brother. But his brother didn't do anything. And I wonder how many of us that really, if we're honest today, we could say we are disappointed in God. How many of us would say, you know what? I've had a difficult time with some of the things God's done in my life. And I've become kind of angry at God if I really want to tell the truth. And because I'm angry at God, I'm allowing that to lead me in a place of offense. I was reading a stat the other day for pastors, and they were talking about some of the most difficult people to lead in the church are men 50 years of age and older who feel like their life has not lived up to what they dreamed it would be. And because of that disappointment, they set goals, thought by the time I was 50 or older, I'd be reaching a certain point. I'd have so much money saved, or I'd have this kind of job, or I'd own my own business, or I'd have this kind of house paid off, or I'd have this. And all these things they set for the goals for their life. And when they don't get there, they feel like, man, they get mad with life, and they get upset at life. And they're not careful, we can see that get bitterness turned toward God. God, I thought you had something better for my life, and I thought you would do this differently in my life. I thought things would work out so much different in my life. And we see this and we get upset. See, look at this though. This is so clueless. Cain was so clueless. You see, Cain missed out. You want to know why? Cain didn't realize it, but he was already blessed. Cain was already blessed. Cain was already blessed. He had a harvest to bring. God had already given him crops. God had already given him a harvest. He was just upset that he didn't do it the right way. So he corrected him and said, listen, don't bring me your leftovers. Bring me your first. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. And then if you'll do that, man, I'm going to continue to bless you. But he was already blessed. See, some of us got to realize today we're already blessed. We're already there. God has already blessed us. See, it leads to the sin of envy. He begins to envy his brother. Begins to envy what God did in his brother, which leads to comparison. And when you start comparing, boy, that's a trap that the enemy sets for us. That's what led to Satan being kicked out of the heaven. He's beginning to compare himself to God. And that led to Adam and Eve getting kicked out of the garden because they want to compare themselves. Satan, listen, you can be like God. He's hiding things from you, you know. And so it's this whole thing. It's this whole trap of comparison that the enemy wants you and I to fall into. Why? Because we live offended and we get mad at God. Now let's pick it back up here in verses 6 through 7 of chapter 4 of Genesis. God says, why are you so angry? He looks at Cain and says, why are you so angry? Why do you look so dejected? Kind of sound familiar? Abram, pick up your head. Pick up your head. Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it. Be its master. Don't let offense guard your heart. Don't let offense weigh you down. Don't let offense pull you under. You're called to be a master over offense in your life. Just pick up your head. Do the right thing. And I just feel the Holy Spirit saying today, ask the question for many people in this room. Why are you so angry? Why are you so mad at God? Because you didn't get what you thought you was going to get in the time you thought you was going to get it in? I mean, Abram was blessed, but you realize it didn't come to many years in his life. It didn't come to many years later that the promise of God came to full fruition in his life. It didn't come to pass until many years later. It was way up there in years for many things that God had promised him came to pass. Some of you here, you didn't get it when you thought you was going to get it. Therefore, you're upset at God. God, it didn't come to pass. God, this door didn't open the way I thought it was going to open. God, this didn't happen the way I was going to happen. And we get mad and angry at God. And I feel God saying, why are you so angry? God is still God. And as long as you will guard your heart and not allow your heart to be guarded with offenses and weighed down with offenses, that God will lead you out. He says, pick up your head. Keep walking, bro. Keep walking, sis. I'm going to take you through this thing. Pick up your head. It's okay. I've got a blessing waiting for you if you will respond in the right way and not respond with offense in your heart. Cain responded with offense. He kills his brother. Abram responds in the right way, took the high road, guarded his heart, and God responds with a blessing beyond his wildest imagination. How do you respond today to offense in your life? Why are you so angry? Do you realize today if you had the opportunity, if you wanted to eat three meals today, if you go out and get in the car and drive to your home, whether you own it, whether you lease it or rent it, whether you go back to your apartment and lease it, whatever. If you're going back to a home today, that you are in the top 5% of wealth owners in the world today. The top 5%. If you have three meals today, you get in the car and drive to your home or your apartment, whether you own it or lease it, doesn't make a difference. If you're doing that, you're in the top 5% of wealth in the United, not in the United States, in the world. In the world. Let me say this to you guys. Here in America, we are blessed. You're already blessed. Bam! I need to drop the mic. You're already blessed. Why are you so mad? You're already blessed. Pick up your head. It's all right. Let go of the fence. Look up. God's going to walk you through this thing. And if you'll just do it with the right heart, God's going to lead you into a season of blessing, but you got to guard your heart. You got to guard your heart. Don't allow offense to come in and rule your heart. See, I can't control my wounds from happening. I can't control my wounds from happening to me, but I can control me being offended. In my life, I can tell you this from a personal standpoint in my life, a personal experience in my life, that over 25 years of ministry, that man, I just tell you, when you're a pastor, you're in a fishbowl. You live your life in a fishbowl where everybody can see, and you become an easy target for people to talk about you, to hurt you, to say things about you that are untrue, things that happen. You become an easy target. And over the years, you help people, and you do things, and man, and sometimes they reject you. And sometimes they turn their back on you. Man, that hurts. Sometimes people lie about you, and that hurts. And I can tell you, many times over the years, even growing up in a pastor's home, seeing this many times over the years, man, I've become offended at things people did. I'm like, man, that really hurts. You know, and there's times I'm like, honey, I don't know if we can do this or not, you know. But I can tell you the one thing that has sustained us over the years is something that God had to teach me over the years was how to bless those who persecute you and how to let go of offense in my life. And I can tell you that I haven't always been good at this. There's times in my life when I wanted to get in my car and I see somebody who offended me and I want to run them off the road. It's dark. They can't see who it is. No one I ever know. They can't prove it's me. There's times I want to go out and take my own vengeance. And times I want to go out and do things that aren't healthy. I've been there, okay? So I understand that. Struggle. But I can tell you that God has taught me over the years that when I begin to feel that spirit of offense coming in my life, there's been many times, my wife will tell you the testimony of this. This is true in our life. I've had to take her hand and say, honey, let's just pray. Let's just pray for that person. Let's just pray for that person. And we stop and pray, God, you bless them. God, we release them to you. Help me not to be offended, but God, I pray blessing over them in their life. And when I do that, it releases something in my life. It allows me to let go of that offense, and it opens me up now to a new season of blessing that God can lead me through and change me through when I don't walk offended. Let me tell you this. Believe it or not, there's been times I've been offended at other pastors. Can you believe that or not? There's been times other pastors did something that offended me, and I get upset. And I'll get so upset to where I'll have to drive by their church. And I'll have to drive by 3 or 4 times, and every time I go by, I'll stop and pray for them. I'll say, God, you bless their church. God, you bless their ministry. God, you bless them. God, you send them all kinds of people. God, you bless them financially. God, you do all this. I pray blessing over them, and I'll leave. And when I do, I feel that burden of offense leading me. It'll leave from my heart. It'll go out of my spirit. And God, then will open me up for a new blessing in my life. I can tell you it's not easy to get to that place. But I can tell you I've practiced it, and I've lived this out. And it's been such a freeing thing in my life and in my ministry and in our hearts. Because when you don't hold on to offense and you let it go and you just bless them, God takes that from you and he continues to open up new opportunities. He continues to open up new doors of blessing when we will guard our heart and keep us from being offended. I want to read you this last scripture today. Before we read the scripture in 1 Peter, I want to kind of set this up. Remember, Peter was the disciple who was become so close to Jesus, and just like Jesus' top buddy and all of his disciples became Jesus' closest ally as they were traveling together. And Peter was right there with him. And Peter was the one to cut off the ear with the sword when they came to take him out of the garden. And Peter was the one who told Jesus, I will never leave you. I would never deny you. Even though Jesus said, listen, dude, you're going to deny me 3 times tonight before the rooster crows. You're going to deny me 3 times even tonight. No, I would never do that. And of course, what happens is that all of his disciples leave him that night. They all run and deny him. Peter denies them. I don't know who this man is. Never seen him before. I wouldn't have anything to do with this guy. Denies Jesus in this time of most trial in his life. As Jesus is heading down the road of the cross. Taking the beating and the nails. Everything that went along with that horrific death that he suffered for you and I. Peter, instead of being there for Jesus' support, he denied him and went in hiding. And then after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, we see Pete out with some of his other disciples that were out there, and they were fishing, and they see Jesus walking out there on the shoreline, and he notices them. He takes off, and he jumps into water. He swims to the shore. He jumps out of the boat of depression. He jumps out of the boat of fear, and he jumps out, and he takes off, swims to Jesus, gets up to Jesus. And what does Jesus say to him? Pete, do you love me? 3 times, 3 separate times, he asks, Pete, do you really love me? See, Peter's greatest fear was, man, what did I do to my master? How hurt is he that I was not there? How hurt was he that I denied him? How hurt was he that I said things about him that wasn't true? How hurt was he that I turned my back on him? How hurt was he? And Jesus shows him, Pete, do you love me? It's basically saying, Pete, I love you. Do you love me? Yeah? Then feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Three different times he asked him that question. Driving the point home that, Pete, I love you. Now get up. Go out and do ministry. All is forgiven, dude. It's all right. It's all right. So keep that in mind now as we talk about the emotional wounds that Jesus must have felt. Matter of fact, we see on the cross where Jesus had to pray, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. The emotional wounds of his family leaving him, his disciples denying him. The emotional wounds that Jesus went through. Now look at this verse as you keep that in mind. Peter's talking about Jesus. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And look what it says now. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for the righteousness. Now catch this. By his wounds, we've been made healed. We've been healed by his wounds. As I was reading this, the Holy Spirit really just jumped something out to me that I've never really noticed before. We think of the wounds that he faced on the cross, and we think of the wounds he took as the nails went through his hands and the stripes upon his back. But we don't always think about the emotional wounds that he took as well. The emotional wounds of the rejection of his family, his disciples, his closest friends. By Jesus' wounds, now our wounds can be healed. By Jesus' wounds, now our wounds can be healed. Some of you here today, you've had things that have happened to you. You didn't choose those things to happen to you, but they happened. They wounded you. I'm here to tell you today, your Savior understands. He understands what it means to be wounded. But by his wounds, we can now receive healing. So when offense comes to me, I realize that, Father, offense is coming to me. I give it to you now. Because by your wounds, I can have healing. My emotional wounds can be healed because you suffered them as well. And you paid the price on the cross for my healing, not only for my salvation, but for my healing as well. How many today say, Pastor, you're speaking right to me. I need to hear this message today. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. We had several people in the first service who were right there with you. They raised their hands and said, man, you're speaking right to me, Pastor. I've had some things, some offenses in my life I've been hanging on to. I've been wounded and I need to let go. I need to let go of it. And I need to let God take it and heal me. As we close this last song today, I want to invite you, if it's you today, say, I want to step out and receive my healing, emotional healing. I've been wounded. Today's your day. I believe there's a spirit in the house today that's going to bring some healing to you. Step out and come to the front and join us. You say, I need to receive healing, Pastor. Today's my day. Step in, guys. Press that to the front as you come in. Step in. I'm making room. Let's come in the back. Did you think? Yes. Let's lift our hands up to him. Can we do that? Let's lift our hands. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that by your wounds, we are healed. So right now, Father, we admit that, God, we've got some offenses in our heart, some offenses in our life that have been weighing on us, dragging us down, God, stopping us. And God, right now, I pray that, God, by the Spirit of the living God who took the wounds to the cross, that now we can walk as children of the King. We can walk now in the healing that comes, that by his wounds, we are now healed. And I pray right now that those wounds begin to fall off in the name of Jesus. I pray for healing, supernatural healing in the name of Jesus. By the power of your Holy Spirit, I speak emotional healing, mental healing, Father, right now, spiritual healing, right now, in Jesus' name. God, I pray right now, those wounds, Lord, have been places of hurt. Father, we're giving them to you now, God. We're giving them to you, Father. And Father, we say, take them, and we receive the healing that came from the cross. We receive the healing that you took upon your death. We receive the healing you took upon rejection. And Father, right now, we say, Holy Spirit, we receive the healing power that comes from Jesus. Now, come on, I want you to lift up your heads now. Pick up your heads, pick up your eyes, and say, God, today, I'm not going to walk in anger. I'm not going to walk in offense, but God, I'm going to give it to you, surrender to you as he reigns over our life.
Come on, let's worship him in this place this morning. Come on, let's give him the ultimate sign of surrender. God, take these offenses from us as we say that you reign.
Our God reigns. Our God reigns forever. Your King reigns.
Come on, sing it out to him, church. Come on, tell him.
Our God reigns
forever.
Your King reigns.
One more time, very soft. Our God reigns, everybody.
God.
I had somebody in the first service tell me, he said, Pastor, after church, he said, you wouldn't realize this, but today after church, he goes, I had a family member call me, wanted to meet with me because of a dispute. I got to go meet with him. I was very upset because I didn't want to meet with him. He goes, but this message was great timing for me and how I need to respond to them in this meeting. And for many of you here, I know it's the same thing that you, there's some things going on the inside and you're thinking, God, I've got to let it go. I've got to let it go. I just feel the Holy Spirit saying, why are you so mad? Let it go. You're already blessed. Let it go and unlock the key to let me bless you even more. You see, my blessing's not tied up in the lot. My blessing's tied up in who God is. See, that frees me up. My blessing's not tied up into the person I'm offended by. My blessing is caught up in how I respond and how my relationship with God. That's where my blessing lies. And so my job, my duty as a Christian is to God, I'm going to let go of that offense. I'm going to take the high road. God, I'm going to bless them. I don't have to go live with them. Abraham didn't go live with Lot. He knows that. They separated. Sometimes you got to separate yourself from toxic people. It's okay. It's okay to do that. But he also said, I took the high road. You be blessed. I'm praying blessing over you. I'm going to go above and beyond to bless you. And I'm praying blessing over you. And I just tell you what, that frees you in your heart today. So one more time, I want you to lift your hands. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you that you're allowing the spirit of offense to fall off in Jesus' name. God, you're allowing those spirits of offense, those things we've been carrying, those burdens, Lord. Some of us have been angry, disappointed, upset at people. God, I just pray right now, those offenses are dropping off in the name of Jesus. And God, you're freeing their hearts. You're freeing their minds. And God, you're letting them to let those things go. You're releasing those things to you. God, now we're going to pick up our head. We're going to walk the land that you've given us. We're picking up our eyes. We're going to walk out the land you've given us. And God, we're going to bless those who curse us. We're going to do good to those who despise us. And God, we're going to pray blessing over them. And God, we're going to walk out of here true of offense, God, letting those things go so we can walk in the season you have for us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Those spirits leave and the spirit of forgiveness, the peace of God, and happiness return in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you receive that, put your hands together. God bless you today. Turn and give someone a big high five or a hug and say, man, it was good to be in the house of the Lord with you. God bless you.